With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. You can email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs that's been with us over a decade now at Tab. And he comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So we're here to help you out. We have one line open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to help you out. Let's go right to your calls. You've been nice enough to call us on this Saturday morning, so we're going to go to Ann in Berlin first. Morning, Ann.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
After some long conversations with our cable company,
yeah,
we have decided to cut loose with them.
All right.
So, at $250 a month, mm-hmm. Looking for a better option.
Right.
So a couple questions that I was hoping you could help me with.
All right.
If we're going to get, like, a Roku streaming stick,
right,
recommended in the little research that I did,
yep,
we need to keep internet, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Or you consider unlimited cellular.
Okay.
Some of these cellular providers, just consider it, are offering unlimited, quote, I'll put quotes around unlimited, because they still throttle you when you hit to some level, from what I understand. But you can look at Verizon and look at other folks that are saying, well, you can have unlimited data, and if you hook up your Wi-Fi through them, you might be able to just pay that one provider for internet.
Okay, interesting. Never heard of that.
Something to look at. But otherwise, okay, you would need your cable provider to give you internet.
Okay, which we may keep just for now and hand in the boxes.
Yeah.
But one other thing, how do you handle multiple TVs? So, you know, we have three TVs in the home.
Yeah.
If we get a streaming stick, or I also was thinking about, amplified antenna to try to get some live TV.
Of course, you should do that, yeah. So to handle multiple TVs, so I went to TiVo, okay? And TiVo has a device that I'm not sure I'd necessarily recommend due to all the pain I went through to deal with TiVo. But the way TiVo does this, it's cool when it works. Let's put it this way. When it works,
okay,
it's cool. You would have a TiVo device that would be your primary device, and you buy these little TiVo mini boxes that connect via your cable, internal wiring of your home via cable. It's called a Mo something. Mo. I can't think of what it is, but you're doing a network within the cable lines of your home, and you buy these little mini boxes that then go to that device. So you can have multiple TVs connected to these little mini boxes that you pay for once, no monthly costs. The only thing you do have to pay for monthly would be the guide through TiVo, mm-hmm. or you can pay the unlimited one-time cost. That's a way to deal with multiple TVs. Another way is to do Chromecast or Fire Sticks or sticks that bring up an app, right? So you could put these Chromecast devices for $35 per TV, one-time cost, on your individual TVs, connect them Wi-Fi over your Wi-Fi network, whichever service you decide to use for that, and Netflix would have the one app you're paying $10 or $12 a month for, and you can have multiple users on the same account stream to the different TVs.
With a stick.
With a stick, the $35, and it's a one-time cost.
Is that a Roku stick?
I haven't used Roku, but it probably works a similar way. You'd have to check on how that account works.
Okay.
Roku or a Google Chrome stick there, or a Amazon Fire stick. You just buy a bunch of those, stick them into your TVs via HDMI, have the one account set up for Netflix or whatever you're going to do, Hulu.
Sure.
Then be careful, Ann. So the last piece of this is what I brought up earlier in the show, is that folks like Cox and Comcast have caps now of 1 terabyte on your internet, and then they're going to start charging you $10 for every 50 megabytes you go over the terabyte.
Huh. Okay, that is interesting. I appreciate you bringing that up. So in trying to break up with my cable company, they still may have control over it if I keep internet with them.
And that's the issue, right? We want competition, and we're not getting competition. And until we get competition, they own the market.
It's like Hotel California.
You
can never leave.
Right. It's like the rates went up $30 this past month for no reason, you know, just because it's a new billing cycle or something,
yep.
they said.
Yep.
And how about live sports?
Live sports would be something you do over your antenna.
Okay.
But you may not get ESPN. I mean, that won't go live. Only your major carriers, your ABC, NBC, whatever you can get over an antenna would be live for you.
Okay. Well, you've been very helpful. Maybe it would help if more people did this, even though they may have that cap. It still might help to have people starting to use these other options. At least that's what I'm trying to do.
I appreciate that, but I respectfully disagree.
Okay.
And I hate the cable company as much as you do, but the problem is that they get you coming and going. So, again, you're going to cut the cable, and the reason Comcast, Cox, and those guys are starting to implement the caps is purely because of that. So they're going to make their money back on the other side anyways. The only way we start to win is through competition. And how do you get competition? Well, not through net neutrality, because net neutrality kind of keeps everything status quo.
Right.
You want to allow the cable companies to literally rip you off. And when that occurs, when the price goes so high that everyone's screaming, guess what? Apple comes in and says, you know what? I have an opportunity. Google comes in and says, hey, wait a minute. I have an opportunity. I can offer internet service to Ann for half of what Comcast is going to offer. And now all of a sudden we have people fighting for our business. Right now no one's fighting for your business, Ann. You only have one provider, maybe two. Nobody cares about you.
Neither of them are a good choice.
Correct. So we have to encourage the competition. So what you're doing doesn't necessarily do that. It just changes how the same stuff gets to you and how they're just going to bill you on the other side. So
it makes my day-to-day living more difficult for me.
Yeah, exactly. So we got to encourage competition, and that's why net neutrality actually discourages competition.
Well, very interesting point of view, and I appreciate you being honest with me, although
sure.
I still am
go ahead.
Looking forward to, you know, dropping them off and saying goodbye.
I don't blame you. Not to mention just the cost for the cable boxes you're paying, right? You have multiple cable boxes on your TVs, which is adding up your cost.
Exactly.
Yeah,
We're up to over $250 a month
for TV.
You know, kind of basic cable. It's not like I'm getting,
And commercials and junk you don't even want. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's not what they promised us when they promised premium cable television. It should have been commercial free. We watch more commercials now than we ever did.
So how many of the channels do you get that you don't watch?
Right. Hundreds, right?
Right. That's exactly. I'm paying for what I don't want. And, you know, but I really appreciate all this information. I'm still going to try to stick with it. But
You go for it. And I'm not trying to discourage you, but I'm just telling you,
yes.
I don't think you're going to get away from it. Eventually, it's going to get right back to that 200 range until we get more competition.
Okay. And I hope it helped others out there that are thinking about doing this.
Yeah.
If nothing else, it's going to feel good for a few minutes.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
All right,
Ann. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. She's right. I mean, it's I've done similar things with my cable provider. My wife would like me to go further, but I know that the other side is simply coming. I've got five people in my family. Three boys are streaming everything. I mean, we've got The Office on still. I think I told you that story. It's like the Twilight Zone in my home. There's an episode where that little kid had basically let everybody watch cartoons all day is all they could watch. My middle son only watches The Office, and that's all that's streaming all day. You go in there and touch the clicker. Hey! The Office is on. So, I mean, I don't know how many gigabytes we're bringing down with The Office, but they're all streaming like crazy, right? So when we're going to get to a point where the bills are going to be right back where they were, and you're going to be downloading your music, and you're going to be Spotifying it, or you're going to be Pandoring it, or you're going to be Alexiaing it, or it's guys, you're going to be paying for every bit you download. If you want to listen to the tune again, it's going to cost you again.
When I
play Rush's tunes twice on a CD, it costs me no more. But when I download the tune over the stream, I have to pay for it every time. How smart are we? It doesn't seem like it makes any sense.
I have a solution.
Yeah.
It's called Do Your Own Cloud. It's called a NAS.
You could do your own cloud, yeah.
Save all your music to your
local
NAS.
Device.
And the newer NASs have the ability where when you're traveling, you can put a little app on your phone and you can listen to the music that you have
but
on your
But you still got to pay for your
but
phone.
But you would pay for that. in bandwidth or data usage. But in your home, once you've got it, you've got it.
Right. Or just buy bigger SIM cards, bigger memory sticks for your phone, put all your music on your phone.
There you go.
What's that called?
Or get a Walkman. An iPod.
Yeah.
An iPod.
Exactly. So it's crazy out there, guys. They're trying to figure out how to extract as much money out of our pockets as possible. And I don't blame them. That's the capital.
It's called revenue streams. Yeah. That's what they want.
That's how this country was built, and I have no problem with that. But we have to figure out ways to allow for competition, or we're just going to get crushed. Let's step out for a quick break. We got Barbara and Ron on the line. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. See, that's how radio works. You didn't have to pay for that at all. It's all broadcast to thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and you only free, right? If I want to listen to that thing on my stream, I'm paying for every bit downloaded over and over again. Just seems silly to me. Let's go to Barbara in Meriden next. Hey, Barbara, what's up?
Hi.
Hi.
I keep getting a message on my computer, which pops up every 10 to 20 minutes or so.
Oh boy.
That says that I have low disk space.
Okay.
It says you are running out of disk space on HP Recovery E. Click here to see if you can free space on this drive, Windows Explorer. And when I click on the space to see if I can save anything, it says amount of space saved will be zero.
Right, because Recovery E is a little drive letter that's created by the manufacturer to allow you to reload your software should you have a problem, the E drive. Did you go look at the E drive itself, Barbara?
Yes, it says that it's 14.2 out of 14.2.
Yeah, it is definitely full. So somehow you stuck something there you probably shouldn't have, by accident most likely, because it shouldn't change.
Likely.
When it first came out, that machine came to you, it would have come with X number of gigs free on that drive letter. I don't think you put any recovery files there on a regular basis with HP. It wouldn't go to the E drive generally. So I think you inadvertently dragged something into that folder. What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, I think you put something there and seeing that there was some extra space.
Yeah.
And that's really a recovery drive. It's not really, it's supposed to be hidden actually.
Yeah. So if you go to that drive letter, that E drive, you have to do a directory and see if you can find maybe you put a picture there, maybe you put a movie there, maybe you put something there that just is going to trigger this warning, this low space warning.
The other thing, you should be saving it to a different drive.
Well, she isn't. She did it by accident, I'm sure.
Not saving anything because when it comes to computers, I'm probably in kindergarten.
Okay. So, yeah.
So I'm looking at that drive, and it says other. There's 13.8 gigabytes, and system and reserved is 453 MB. Documents is 144 KB.
There it is.
And that's it?
Well, documents is KB. Sorry, I thought you were going to give me a bigger number. It's too small. It's probably instructions.
Everything else is zero.
So that's all you got on there, huh?
Yep.
But what about the drive letters? Not so much the folders.
Drive letter E. She's looking at E.
E. Well, yeah, but she should be looking at drive letter C.
No, that's not the one giving her the error, though. It's E.
Right. Well, E's giving the error because you're not really supposed to be saving anything there.
Right. And so we want to find the data in there. And so she gave the list of what's in there.
Right.
So on the E drive, there must be something in there, Barbara, that is just... You know what? Copy the 100K... B documents folder, which is probably instructions as to how to recover your system into your C drive, and then delete it from your E drive.
Say that again.
So there's a documents folder in the E drive. You said, right? You're sure it's in the E, right?
Yes, I'm in. It says HP Recover E.
Okay, within that folder, you said you had 100 KB of data, right?
Yes.
So you could try copying that folder out into your C drive. And then delete it from your E drive.
You could do a cut and paste.
Okay, so I just clicked on it.
Yeah.
And it says we couldn't find any folders to show you.
What? Can we turn off this setting for her? Can we turn off the warning on a drive space issue? That could be another option for you. And if you do a directory, Barbara, on the root of E, do you see anything there?
Don't know what you're telling me to do.
So if you go to the bottom left-hand corner of your computer and type in CMD, it'll bring you to a command prompt.
Type in
CMD.
Mary.
Yeah, D as in dog. And then you're going to get to something called a command prompt. It's a black screen with a cursor.
Yeah.
Type in E:. Enter.
moment. I'm getting the command prompt.
Yeah, type in E colon.
Where am I typing that?
In the black screen.
See. E.
Colon.
Yep.
Enter. Now you're at the E drive, correct? It should say
correct.
E.
Yep.
Type in D-I-R.
Yep.
And hit enter. It should show you kind of what's in the root of E. Anything in there like a document or a zip file or something? You should see your directory as you listed, the documents and what have you.
It says
OS.
Directory, one file, 528 bytes. One directory, 2,940,928 bytes free.
Oh, really? So you do have some space free. But no other directories are listed? No documents directory that you mentioned earlier?
It says 1/18/2017 at 1:35 p.m., directory Barbara HP, and then it says 528media.id.bin.
Yeah, these are all, again, basic files that should have come
with
the machine.
And then what I told you before, and that's all that's there.
Okay. Are you running Windows 7?
No, 10.
Of course. We have an answer for load disk space error on Windows 7 for HPs. But you stuck something there, Barbara, by accident. And we got to find the file you put there that's causing this error. I was hoping we could disable the error for you. I mean, it's not a smart thing to do to disable the warning on space, but I doubt your C drive is full at all, correct? Your C drive probably
correct.
Has tons of space.
No, it's not even close.
Yeah. So if we turn off the error message, if it's possible, that would just solve the issue. Because it's never going to stop warning you of low disk space on this drive because you do have low disk space on this drive.
Right.
Because you stuck something there, I think. But we don't know what you stuck there. Anybody in your family that can help you look at drive files?
Not really, but okay. I can see if I can try to find somebody.
Yeah, because what we're looking for here is a file that you put there by accident. We have something called Winderstat. I know it sounds like a German.
and I lived in Germany for 2 years.
Winderstat. It's a going to give you a directory information as far as how much stuff is in there.
Yeah.
But you need to actually see if you've stuck a file somewhere. And even doing the Winderstat, you might not notice that you put that file. It might be hard to find, you know?
Okay.
But we do have another. Did you put another link there for her, Bob?
Yes.
All right. There's another. What's that going to help her with there on that warning?
Well, basically, it'll turn off that low disk space warning.
Oh, you found the way to turn it off on E?
Correct.
All right. So there is a way to turn it off. So the other idea is to just turn off this warning because I don't think it'll affect your machine at all.
Okay.
And it'll stop your error. You are low on space on the E drive. And the moment you stick another file there, your machine will just blow up. No, I'm just kidding. Don't stick anything on E ever again by accident.
I don't know. I don't know how I could possibly.
You don't know how you can do it because mice are tricky and your fingers get tricky and you think you drag something from one place to another. I mean, clients do it all the time. They drag folders and files to all sorts of different places on servers and workstations. You're human. So you inadvertently slid your finger and dragged something into that. You let go of it at the right possible second to literally make that swoosh shot into the E drive.
Yeah, I understand that. I've done that before at work.
Yeah. We're all human. So you inadvertently slid something into that E directory by accident.
Drag and drop. You just dropped it in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so you're a lucky shot there.
Okay.
And to try to find which file it is too difficult to have us walk through on the radio, I think.
Right.
But we gave you a way to turn off the warning, so at least you can turn it off.
Okay,
just
go onto your site and it'll tell me?
Yeah, go to the archive links first. That's probably where it'll be first. And the note will be there for how to turn off disk space warnings. But
okay,
folks,
perfect.
Don't do this in general. Just Barbara, this is for Barbara. In general, you want to know if you're running out of space.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
All right,
thank you very much.
Our pleasure.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
How many times have you dragged something where you don't want to drag it? We've got a minute or two here, Matt? Yeah? All right. Let's go to Ron and get his question in. Hey, Ron, what's up?
How's it going, guys?
Not too bad. How are you
doing?
I got
a call yesterday afternoon on the phone. I'm getting a lot of computer phone scam calls. I'm very used to them and stuff, but this was a new one.
Yeah.
It said that my Microsoft product key has expired. An emergency alert, and that I should call this number for them to fix this problem and stuff.
They called you?
Heard this. Yeah.
They called you, and then they said, here's the number you should call?
Yes.
Wow. No, that's a scam, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've gotten a million of these. I'm like Bob. They constantly call me about I got viruses on the machine and stuff, and I'm well used to it and stuff. But this is a new one. I've never heard this one before and stuff.
I haven't either, but do you have Prince Albert in a can?
No.
Oh, okay. Let's say if you did, let him out. Yeah, same thing. Exactly. It's a scam. It's a scam. Yep. So don't worry about it, Ron. Anybody calls you like that?
I was just wondering if you guys have heard, because I've never heard of this one before and stuff, you know.
Yeah, every day they're coming up with something new. They got nothing better to do in the third world. And
It's just very discouraging.
Yes, it is.
I was getting calls like once a week on, like, you have Microsoft problems on your computer, you know, and stuff. And one time I, you know, jerked around with them and stuff, and they got real nasty on the phone and stuff.
Well, that could be fun if you get nothing better to do.
Yeah, exactly. My daughter was dying rolling on the phone, floor over here when I was doing it and stuff. She said, well, my dad knows computers, and he's really got the wrong person to talk to on the phone and stuff. You know?
That's so awesome, Ron. We got to go, but thanks for the call.
All right. Take care now.
You got it. Bye-bye. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. And, of course, we are podcasted. We're one of the most downloaded podcasts here on the station, which we're proud to say. You can get that from Computer Talk with Tab, of course, or you can also go to WTIC.com to get the podcast and listen to us anytime. But, of course, you're going to pay by gigabyte or megabyte, one of those, you know, ironic things where it comes to streaming and to pay by the bit. I also want to give you a little bit of information. So I've been with Tab for 27 years, a long time, and we bring on new customers all the time, obviously, new business clients. And one of our new customers had an issue that I want you guys to be aware of if you're in business. This company happens to be a town, and they let their old IT provider go, which is fine. Which, things happen. Business changes. And they went with our services, and that's all fine and good. The problem was the old IT provider had registered the town's domain name in his name. And generally, if the person's scrupulous, that's not an issue. But when they're not scrupulous, the unscrupulous IT provider can act like he owns the name of your town. Now, that's kind of crazy, and it seems innocuous, right? However, your domain registration is how a lot of transactions occur when it comes to email and other things having to do with things that are called MX records that allow communications to occur between your mail server and the planet. And this little registration that costs $100 a year or less, this one person can control the ability to flow information back and forth. So my little warning to you is, make sure you, the company, are the ones who are registered as the owners of your .com or your .gov or your .whatever. Because you could come across, like this poor town did, an unscrupulous IT provider who is going to hold you hostage, acting like just because they registered that .com for you, they own it, and the registration company, whether it be GoDaddy or Network Solutions, can kind of see that person as the owner. You know, imagine if Coke let their domain name expire, Coca-Cola, and I ran in there and registered it myself. You definitely want to – that issue would be a problem for Coke because I could then hold them hostage and say, hey, if you don't pay me $10,000, you're not going to get Coke back. Well, Coca-Cola would go right to the registrar and say, we are Coca-Cola. This guy's a ding-a-ling, and give us our domain back. So in this case of this poor town, this guy is giving them a hard time and not giving them their name back, all because, you know, he's sour grapes. So my warning to you is, wherever you're dealing with an IT company or a web designer, make sure your company is listed as the registrant, not the guy who registered it for you. Because if it's in his name or her name or that company name, they could contend it's theirs and they're renting it to you. But that's not quite how it's supposed to work, if they're scrupulous. So be wary of that. So let's get back to more of your calls. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's go to Gary in Berlin next. Hey, Gary.
Yes, but you guys are like two Supermen. Let me turn that off. I have a dumb question. One question is, can you put up a link where I can reload Windows 10 and get rid of the old Windows 10? I think I've closed off something or several things, and I don't know what I'm doing anymore. The one problem I have is copying a picture from my file into a letter.
Yeah.
And what I get now, it says Control plus V backslash C, MD plus V keyboard shortcut.
All right.
To paste content. Why did that have to all be done? And how the heck do you do it with two fingers?
That's a lot of keys, right?
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to. You should be able to just take the picture, right-click copy, and then go into your Word document, right-click paste.
Yeah. I've been doing that for years.
And it won't work anymore?
But it comes up.
So it won't work anymore? You've tried that and won't work?
It won't let me move a picture. It just is all those letters.
Ay-yi-yi. What have you gotten yourself into, Gary?
Too much information from you guys.
It's our fault.
I feel like wrapping the PC with Primacord and just blowing it to pieces.
Well, we feel like that every day.
5 years old. It's a pain. Is there a way I can reload the entire Windows all over again?
Yeah.
Without getting, I get warnings from Norton all the time that this program's corrupt and all that.
Okay. How old is the machine, you say? 5 years?
Yeah, 4 or 5 years, yeah.
And Norton is telling you that you've got corrupt programs on the machine? Corrupt or?
When I go on the internet and supposedly go to the, quote, Microsoft group,
mm-hmm.
when I start to download it, that green bar comes across and says, no, don't do that. We've stopped the loading and it's corrupt.
Oh, it's being corrupt, being
yeah,
a bad file.
The one that's coming in is corrupt.
Okay, so they're saying it's a bad file. So you may not be at Microsoft.com like you think.
Probably not, even though it says Microsoft.com.
Interesting. So to do a recovery of your Windows 10, did that come with the machine originally?
No, this had a good old Windows 7, which I loved.
Yeah, and then you did the free upgrade, or they forced you to upgrade to Windows 10. We can give you a way to do a system recovery. We can put a link up there to how to do a system recovery. You'll have to follow the instructions. It'll be more difficult, I think, because you did an upgrade of your Windows 7, right, Bob? It's not as clean.
Yeah, it's not as easy as you think.
And you have to make sure you have your key. If you just format it, your machine came with Windows 7, so it's going to be a little more trouble.
So when you do it, typically what you should do is immediately run the recovery disks.
But he doesn't have the recovery.
I understand.
Yeah.
See, that's what makes it tough, because if you skip that last step.
Of creating them?
Of creating them, which it offers you when you initially do the upgrade.
Yeah.
So I'll do it later, and then everybody forgets to do it later.
Nobody does it later.
Right.
Oh. Yeah.
So the other thing is, Gary, this might be a little drastic as far as why you're doing this. You might be doing something you don't need to do.
Well, let's put it this way. If it doesn't work, I'm off to one of the stores and buy a new set.
Well, you could do that too. It's 5 years old. But again, your problems are minor, right? Your only issue is that you do a copy and paste and it's asking you to put in 15 keys to do it. What other issues are you having?
Yeah. When I do that, it doesn't work.
Right. But what other issues are you having with your machine, Gary?
That Chrome thing doesn't work.
Okay.
The Edge for the mail, that doesn't work.
Wow.
I have to use Communist Cast Mail. That's the only one that works.
So you have issues with other things on this machine.
I've got issues with the world.
I can see.
Especially if you listen to Rush.
Right. I hear you. I'm thinking what you got to do then is you could consider doing a recovery without a wipe and a reload by going into the recovery area of Windows 10. If you want to try to go back to a time when the machine might have worked better for you, choose a recovery point or restore point.
Oh, okay.
I would do that before you go to the drastic level that you're talking about. If you're still having issues, though, you could always bring it to a shop because you have too many issues to solve over the air here that might be related to something wrong with the operating system itself. So if you do the recovery and you still have issues, you could consider bringing it to like a Staples and seeing if the guys on those desks can give you a little bit of guidance. Don't spend too much money on a 5-year-old machine.
No, I won't. Okay, gentlemen.
All right, Gary, but it's a lot going on there. And that copy-paste, we can try to find a solution for why your copy and paste changed, but it should just be a right-click copy, right-click paste within the Word document. It shouldn't be 15 keys to do that. So we'll have to do a little more research on that for you, Gary.
Guys, put your capes back on. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Gary.
Bye-bye.
We have our own outfit. I love it. We'll see what we can do there, but copy and paste shouldn't go away. I mean, his mouse must still work. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Bill in Westbrook. What's up, Bill?
Hi.
Hey.
I've got, I think, a minor problem, but it's a nagging problem.
All right.
When I turn on my laptop, I get a note, a message at the bottom that says, could not reconnect to network drives or something like that.
And yeah.
Click on this for more information. I clicked on it, and it brings me to a screen, and I think I've located, it says under network locations, it has two things that say memory card and it says disconnected network drive.
Right.
So and I clicked on those, and they're both something to do with Epson, which I think is probably a printer that I maybe had or maybe still have. I'm not sure. I do have an Epson printer.
But yeah, the printers, some of those printers have card readers built in. And you put your card.
I am able to print.
Yeah.
Off my, you know, using my computer. So
sure.
I'm just wondering, is there a way to just get rid of these?
Can you connect to those drives? They come up and they'll like have a red X through them, so that indicating that they aren't available.
Can you connect to them if you double click on them?
Let me look here. No, just now I got a thing that says an error occurred while reconnecting to Epson memory card.
There it is.
Okay, so what I would do is right-click on it and disconnect it. Get rid of it. Unless you need it.
Doesn't sound like he does.
No, I mean, just disconnect. Okay, click on disconnect.
Yep.
Yes.
All right.
And that'll never come up again.
I'll do the other one.
What's the other one?
Well, I mean, they were just both. They
Epson.
Both kind of were the same, actually. Looked like the same.
Yep. Again, many printers have card readers built in. So, like, if you take your pictures off your camera, you put the card into your printer, and it becomes a handy place to move data. So maybe there's a card reader in your printer. But right-click, disconnect, and you're all done.
Very good. Thank you much.
You're welcome, Bill.
Take care.
You're welcome. All right, bye-bye. Down in Westbrook. All right. Matt's getting another call right now. While he's bringing that call online, we're going to be stepping out for a quick break and then get back to your calls. Feel free to get online. Everything we've talked about has been posted on our Facebook page. So if you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, it'll go into your news feed. Also, you can follow us on the old Twitter while it's still in business. They're not making any money. They're all whining about it. But Twitter at Tab Computer Sys. You'd think with all the Twitter talk, they'd be making money, but they're not. But if you follow us on Tab Computer Sys, via Twitter, you'll get the same information. And of course, our old fashioned website, the name of the show.com, computertalkwithtab.com. If you look in the archived or live links areas, you'll find everything we've talked about on this show and past shows as far as news items and helping other folks out with their issues. We're going to step out. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Lessie should be in with Healthy Rounds, giving you a second opinion on your health advice. And always nice to see Dr. Lessie. Let's go on to your calls. You got a couple lines open, and feel free to get online before the top of the hour, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's go to Rick in South Windsor. Hey, Rick.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good, thanks. Good. So I had a question. I'm running Windows 7 on my PC.
Yep.
And I use Malwarebytes.
Okay.
And I used to use the Malwarebytes Premium where it had, constant monitoring.
Yep.
But I read that really, really slows down your computer and you don't need it. So I use Windows Defender now.
Yep.
And then I just use Malwarebytes when I need it. So what do you think about that?
That's how I run.
Okay.
So
do you need to have something running all the time or not necessarily?
Defender, you only need one antivirus running all the time. And Defender, for home use, this is for home, right?
Yeah.
For home use, Defender's fine. Now, the one last piece you need to put in there is OpenDNS. Are you running OpenDNS?
No, not.
I'll tell you right now, if you put OpenDNS in there, you won't even probably need to use Malwarebytes because you're not going to get hit with anything.
Well, that would be good.
Yeah.
And I've heard you talk about that, but I never looked into how to do it. Do you have a link or something you could put up? Or?
Oh, yeah. It's up there.
Okay, great.
So, yeah, Malwarebytes I use as a remediation tool should I ever get hit. And I haven't been hit since that one example I've given you guys with the Merlot and my son looking for information on Japanese baseball players. And that was years ago. He's now off to UConn in August. So it's ever since that point, since I've told that story, I have never in my entire home had to run Malwarebytes ever. Because
wow.
I've got a remediation tool. It was, Blue Coat. What was the tool we used to use before OpenDNS, Bob?
Something dog.
I can't think of it. Oh, my goodness. We used to recommend it all the time. It was another web filter, but we've gotten away with it. It's the Blue Dog or Blue...
It's from Blue Coat.
Blue Coat, yeah. But now we've gone to OpenDNS, and it's if you stay prophylactically protected from malware by using these tools, you'll have less need of remediation. So,
all right. Well, that was very helpful. Thank you very much.
You got it, Rick.
I think.
Yeah, bye-bye. Definitely preventable. All this stuff is preventable. You know, if you use tools to keep your company and your folks and your home safe from these nasty sites, and nasty can be used as a word across any kind of genre you want. These are malicious sites, ones that are delivering malware to your system. And if you block the ability to get there, what was it called? K9. There it is, K9. I don't even use it anymore. And again, it was a great tool. It just produced these large logs that would slow your system down, whereas OpenDNS doesn't do that. Let's go to Pat in Oakville. Hey, Pat.
Hi.
Is there like four people that live in Oakville?
Three.
I mean, it's tiny. I mean, I drive. It's right by the reservoir there, right?
It's not far from the reservoir.
Yeah.
It's between Oakville and between Watertown and Waterbury.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm thinking of a different town than in my brain here. But what do you got going on, Pat?
Well, I had a lot of problems with my computer. I let somebody onto my computer thinking they were from Facebook to try to get me a refund from something I had purchased. Anyway,
So you purchased something from Facebook? Within Facebook?
I purchased something from this Rose Gal place.
Mm-hmm.
That's on Facebook.
Okay.
And although the clothes were beautiful, they're made in China,
mm-hmm.
So their size, like 1X, is like a size 10 here. Anyway, nothing fit, and I just wanted to return it, but
yeah.
That was impossible to get a phone number.
Right.
The phone number kept saying it was out of order.
All right.
And there was no return. Anyway, I went to online and got a hold of some guy that I thought was from Facebook, and he came onto my computer.
Mm.
And he asked me a whole bunch of stuff, including about my banking and this and that and the other.
Oh, man.
Anyway, after that.
Wait, did you give him any information? I hope you didn't.
I gave him a lot of information.
Oh, Pat.
I regret to say. However, thank God there was nothing in my bank at the time. But the day before my check was due to hit, this son of a gun called me. But anyway, I called McAfee. I called my computer company, Optimum.
Hmm.
And I called McAfee, and McAfee had me do a quick scan, then do a complete scan, and it detected no viruses.
Right.
However, I still have that. I still had that little skull there, and now every single time I open my computer, I get this blue square that says, "Do you want to open Supremo, whatever that is?" And it says yes or no, and I keep saying no because I don't know nothing about no Supremo, but I would really love to get it off my computer. It was suggested to me to call Dell, the computer maker.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I call Dell, they want
$100.
And yeah, if now I have to say after those scans and everything is running fine, and it was before too, but the little skull is gone.
Oh, it
but
is.
That
good.
Supremo thing keeps coming up.
Okay. We'll do a search on what Supremo is to try to have an idea. Do you know what it is?
It's remote desktop software.
Oh, okay, so it's remote desktop, Pat. You want to uninstall that Supremo. Go to Add Remove Programs and uninstall it. We'll put a link there for you because we're coming up against the top of the hour, but you want to uninstall Supremo. That is a remote desktop. The bad guys can try to get in your machine using that tool.
Right.
So we want to have you uninstall
it. It's not listed in any of the programs.
So we will try to find a way to find that hidden program for you and have it removed. All right, Pat?
Okay. I went to everything that was around that date, around 714, 711, 724.
Okay.
Those were the dates I talked to this guy around that time.
And you may want to put some sort of tracker on your bank account because if you gave him that information, that's not good news.
I got a new bank account.
Okay, good. We got to go. We got to go, Pat. I'm sorry. We're going to put you on hold. This is Computer Talk. Thank you, everybody. See you next week.
See you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.